Psalm 27. Psalm 27 from the NASB. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this new day that we can put our hope and our trust in you. And God, we just meditate upon your word. And God, we pray that it would fill us with joy. It would fill us with peace. And Father, we just want to honor you today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 27 is a famous psalm. And David is going through some fear. A lot of difficult circumstances around him. There may be a war against him. He may be ready to go into battle. We're not sure which battle it is. And here he's having a moment right before all of this craziness in his life is going to ensue. And the message in terms of the psalm that we want to take out of this, I'll start with that first, is that in the midst of fear, it's an opportunity for growth. That when you are afraid of what's happening in your life, this is an opportunity for growth. And so if we look, we'll break this down into three parts. And so David begins with the confidence of the Lord, and he begins to recite the truths of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And that's the first step, that when you're going through challenging circumstances or challenging times, you need to be able to have the word of God, and you need to be able to declare it. And so he begins to declare it, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. I have nothing to fear. Maybe a scripture that you might want to sort of proclaim is that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If he is for me, who can be against me? There's nothing that can... So David begins to you know, read the scriptures. He's beginning to recite the truths of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? And then in verse 2, he's beginning to describe his situation, that there's, evildoers come and want to devour my flesh. You know, this could be figuratively, but in his case, it's probably literally, because he's about to engage a battle. They want to kill him, basically. They want to devour his flesh. And adversaries and enemies, they stumble and fell. And so he's feeling in verse 3, everyone is against me. But he says, my heart will not fear. The war rise me. In spite of this, I shall remain confident. I shall be confident. Now, this is a very difficult sort of statement to declare, believe, to live. That though your life is, in trouble, you're in certain situations that the consequences are huge, my heart will not fear. Well, as I examine my life, generally my heart is afraid. You know, you have a physical reaction of stress, or that you ever have that feeling where your heart just drops and it's crushed because of stress. You know, you're in trouble, whatever. And he says, in spite of this, I shall be confident. And he says, the war rise against me. Now, this is a pretty serious circumstance. Think of all the things in your life, right? You know, all the difficulties, maybe financial burdens, maybe relational problems. But now, probably on the extreme end of that spectrum is war against your life. Someone trying to kill you, chase after you, murder you, whatever. And this is what David is feeling going through. And he still says, my heart will not fear. And he says, in spite of this, I shall be confident. To use sort of an athletic illustration, we put our trust and our hope and we're confident in certain people who are clutch. You know, back in the day it might be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or whatever. And so when we're at the end of the game and we need a basket or something and the ball is in their hands, there generally is this confidence that we have. Oh yeah, Kobe's going to do it. Michael's going to do it. You know, maybe David Beckham is going to do it. You know, we have this confidence, not necessarily because of the final result. Or LeBron is going to do it, whatever. We don't have confidence in them at the time because of the pending result. Because if you look at their history, track record, there's numerous failures. There's numerous times where they've missed the shot or failed or whatever. But each and every time, subsequent time, we have confidence in them, not because of their prior track record and the result, but because we believe in their ability. So each and every time is a new hope, new chance, and they have the ball in their hands, and we believe in them, we trust in them because of their ability. And if you interview those people, whether it be Michael Jordan, Kobe, they want the ball in their hands because they have confidence in their own ability. And so now David is here, and he says, despite war against me, despite you know all my troubles, I can still be confident, my heart will not fear. Because he has confidence in the ability of God to prevail. It doesn't matter previously the consequences of the sins of Israel and they lost battles and things, but his confidence is in the ability of God. And so then in verse 4, before we go to verse 4, I wonder, are we at that point where we can have the Word of God and declare the truths of God and during difficult circumstances have the trust and the peace in our heart to say, I believe in the ability of God to overcome my circumstance, to overcome the war that is rising against me, though evildoers come and devour my flesh. And then he goes, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. And so now what David wants to do is he wants to engage in the presence of God. So he declares the truths of God. He has the trust of God. He has the confidence of God. And then he wants to engage in the presence of God. If you remember Moses, you know, when he was not confident of his speaking ability, he wanted the presence of God to go before him. When there's a group of frightened disciples at the end of Jesus' life, Jesus said, I will always be with you to the end of the age. Joshua, when he's leading the Israelites into the promised land, God says that you will always prevail because just as I was with Moses, I will be with you, engaging in the presence. And now David, too, he says, one thing that I've asked, that I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to dwell in his presence. I want to behold his beauty. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me, he will lift me up on a rock. This is a sort of an allusion of, in a military formation, the general, his tent is hidden in the middle, safe and protected. And so he's saying, in that day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. Verse 6, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer it in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. There's this idea of singing, and for me, I don't know where I learned this or heard this, but you can always tell a person if they're in a good mood, whether they're singing or not. Right? Think about it this way. If you're upset and if you're in a bad mood, you're not going to be singing pop songs. You're not going to be like, la, 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 whatever. You know? It's only when you're in a good mood, when you're free from stress, when you're released of burden, that you're going to sing. And so, you know, I can always, you know, I use that as a gauge, you know, if I have some bad news to give somebody and you know, and they're singing either worship songs or a pop song or whatever, if they're singing, you know, whatever song, I can tell. Even in my own son, I can tell, you know, if he's singing, I know he's in a good mood, he's happy, things like that. And so there's a spiritual idea of singing in the scriptures. Even in Ephesians, it says, don't be filled with wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so there's a spiritual aspect of singing. And so David is, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. So think about it. In the midst of all of this war, people want to kill him, things like that, he is able to sing to the Lord. You know, if you're going over your finances and you're stressing over, you know, how am I going to pay this bill? You're not going to be like, you know, singing a pop song and singing. But David is able to do that. I would even say, you know, I would even offer to you and submit to you that maybe if you're going through a stressful time, maybe you start singing and see the effect of that. And maybe sing worship songs and see if you can focus your eyes not upon your stresses, but focusing your eyes upon the Lord and see if there's a change. And this is what David is doing. He's declaring, he's engaging in his presence. He has the confidence that the Lord is going to lift him up above his circumstances, and he begins to sing. And so after he has established all that, now he comes and he prays to the Lord. And he says this, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me, answer. When you said, seek me, seek my face, my heart will say to you, your face, O Lord, I seek. Do not hide your face from me," etc., etc. If you took that section by itself, you might think that David is in despair, that he's in trouble, that he's worried, and things like that. But after he has established the confidence of the Lord, after he's engaged in the presence of God, then he becomes very open, vulnerable, and real before God. And he says, "Don't hide your face, O God. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Don't abandon me, nor forsaken me, O God of my salvation." And he says in verse 10, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me." I mean, the very two people that are supposed to be able to instill sort of confidence and self-esteem and acceptance, they're the ones that have abandoned. And so now he turns to the Lord and he says, "But the Lord will take me up." And then verse 11, "Teach me your ways." He asks for guidance. "Lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." Verse 13, he says something that is so vulnerable and so intimate and so true and relevant to us. "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I think as you look at your circumstances and you see just despair all around, it would be easy for us to give up. And David said he would have given up. He would have despaired unless he believed that he would see the goodness of the Lord. And that's the one thing that keeps us moving and keeps us going and motivates us and strengthens us, is that unless you can see that in the end there's going to be goodness in the Lord, and in the end, you will be victorious. And in the end, you will be justified. And in the end, you will be vindicated. And in the end, you will be declared righteous because you are putting your hope in the Lord. Unless you have that, you will despair. You look at people in the world that rely on their own strength, rely on their own abilities, rely on their own talent. And they fall into a bump in the road and they are filled with despair. Headed towards alcohol, headed towards drugs, headed towards, you know, different vices and things like that. And he says, "But I would have despaired." And finally he says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. David does not dismiss his fears. He does not dismiss his despair. He doesn't dismiss it at all, but he handles it in a proper way. Maybe if we have Jackie come up. And, you know, I have to admit, it's not easy to stop fearing outside of the truths of God. But I want to finish with a quote with Martin Luther. And Martin Luther made an interesting observation. He says that God and the devil take opposite tactics in regards to fear. He says the Lord first allows us to be afraid, that he might relieve our fears and comfort us. The devil, on the other hand, wants to make us feel secure in our pride and in our sins, that we might later be overwhelmed with fear and despair. And so God and the devil seem to take opposite ends. God allows us to be afraid, but through his character and who he is, he comforts us and he relieves those fears. The devil, he wants us to feel the opposite. He wants us to feel secure in our pride, in our sins, and then at the end, he overwhelms us with fear and despair. So maybe you have or will be going through a time where you're afraid and you're not sure what to do. Your heart is in despair. Your heart is crushed. Your heart is weak. Maybe you're feeling even in your body the stresses of your life. I want to encourage you this morning as you meditate on the Psalms. And I love meditating on the Psalms because they're so real. They reflect our hearts many times. Is to declare the truth of God, to engage him, to seek him in prayer. Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. To ask him for guidance in verse 11, to teach me your ways. To have the confidence not to be despaired and to wait for the Lord. And so let me say this final charge as I bless you. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So let's do that right now. If you would bow your heads with me. Lord, though my heart is afraid of what might happen, we shall put our trust in you. Though evildoers come and want to devour me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident in you. And so, Lord, we want to be in your presence. We want to dwell in your house. We want to meditate on the beauty and behold the beauty of the Lord. We will wait for you. Let's sing this together.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Thank you. amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Jesus,
let's pray for our community. Let's lift them up. Let's remember them. Let's pray for those who are sick with cancer. Let's pray for those that are not only on our list, but those that we know that are close to us in our family and our relationships. Let's ask the Lord to heal them and have mercy on them, and that they would experience God's grace and presence. So let's lift them up in prayer right now. Pray for those who are struggling with cancer and also don't know the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to open their eyes and experience life and healing and mercy and love from the Father. So let's lift them up in prayer and pray for salvation. Pray for those with other sicknesses and infirmities, and let's ask the Lord to be with them. Let's ask the Lord to bless them and heal them. And so let's pray. Pray for those looking for work and employment, and let's ask the Lord to sustain them during this this challenging time, and that they would not lose hope and be despaired, but they would have confidence in the Lord, And so let's ask the Lord to bless them. Let's pray for them. Pray for our mission focus for this morning, and let's pray for Indonesia and for Phoebe Ministry and Pastor Salamat, and let's ask the Lord to bless them as they're continuing to grow and as they minister to the Muslim community. Let's ask for favor and blessing upon them. Let's lift up Kupang. It's a church that we've built, and because of it, people in a Muslim nation are becoming Christians, and so let's continue to lift them up in prayer, that God will continue to bless them. Let's lift up Singapore, and let's pray for the church plant that started last week, and ask the Lord to provide a leader and pastor and things like that. So let's pray for these nations and for our specific areas of ministry there. Let's pray. Lift up our education ministries at SP. Let's pray for the kids ministry in Noah's Ark. Let's pray for teachers and ask the Lord to bring volunteers and leaders and ministers for Noah's Ark, for youth group, SP Youth, and for SPU, for college. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and Pastor Hyunsu, and ask the Lord to increase their ministry and their blessings upon our education ministries. So let's lift them up right now. Lift up our families and marriages. Let's pray for the relationships within those marriages. Let's pray for healing and love and unity, restoration and protection. So let's ask the Lord to protect our marriages, that the enemy wouldn't bring division upon the covenants that people have made with one another. So let's lift up our families and marriages right now. And let's pray for our weekend activities. A lot going on. There's three house churches that's happening today. Let's pray for our weekend services. Let's pray for our outreaches. Also, there's an EG retreat that Pastor Sam is leading this weekend. So let's lift them up, that they would truly encounter the power of God, and they would experience God in a powerful, meaningful way, in a life-changing way. So let's lift up our weekend activities today. Father, we just lift up your people to you. We know that you love them so much, as, just as you love us. And Father, we just want to lift up nations around the world, God, that that need your grace and your mercy and your presence, Lord God. And Father, so we just want to seek your face, God. We put our trust in you no matter what circumstances are in front of us. So Father, we just pray for your blessing over this weekend. And Lord, we want to dedicate our time to you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you seek God personally for the rest of the day, I want to encourage you to remember the Philippines and the things that are going, devastation there. We're trying to maybe send some more teams, so maybe pray through that and pray for God to be able to form a team to go back. So go ahead and pray for that, and have a great weekend. We'll see you at church tomorrow.